Welcome to Component 4, which is titled Introduction to Information and Computer Science. This is Unit 2, entitled Internet and the World Wide Web. You might wonder why this material needs to be covered when it seems to be ubiquitous. The Internet and the World Wide Web are known by everybody, it seems. And yet, many folks don't understand its implications, its origins, how to use it, its advantages and disadvantages. Those are the topics that we'll cover in this unit, and I hope that you enjoy the course. Our unit objectives include gaining the abilities to define the Internet and the World Wide Web, understand how to connect to the Internet and the various options available to you through your ISPs, including IP, addressing, DNS, domain names, and then the fees associated with Internet access. Searching the Internet, filtering results, and evaluating credibility of results. Internet security and privacy concerns. Ethical considerations through the use of the Internet. And finally, online healthcare applications and associated security and privacy issues. And this will include a small discussion about HIPAA, which is the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act. Let's begin our discussion by defining the Internet. According to Wikipedia, the Internet is a global system of interconnected computer networks that use the standard Internet Protocol Suite, which is TCP/IP, and we could expand that acronym to Transmission Control Protocol, Internet Protocol, to serve billions of users worldwide. The hardware that makes up the Internet is cabling, and this would be the cabling that connects your ISP to your home, as well as the cabling that connects your ISP to other ISPs throughout the United States. So it's the cabling, routers, switches, servers, and computers that host documents, audio, video, and so on. In other words, the content of the Internet. Now, let's put that in English so that it makes sense to you and I. In other words, the Internet is a large network which is made up of many smaller networks. For example, your city may connect to other cities, and then that creates a region. Your region might connect to other regions. As an example, the western United States connecting to the midwestern portion of the United States, and so on. Computers connect to the Internet via an Internet Service Provider, or ISP, such as AT&T, Bell South, Quest, Verizon, and so on. Now examine the graphic on the screen. This is a visualization of the various routes through a small portion of the Internet. And if you see what appear to be hubs, which would be large pieces of light with spokes extending out of them, that would represent the cabling and interconnections, this gives you an idea as to what the Internet would look like. For some, it would seem that the Internet has been around forever, but really that's not true. The Internet has its roots in the United States government's desire to still be able to communicate even in the event of a nuclear strike. This network was named ARPANET, which is an acronym for the Advanced Research Projects Agency Network. The original Internet consisted of four computers or servers operating at UCLA, University of California at Santa Barbara, Stanford, and the University of Utah in 1969, which is the year that the United States put a man on the moon. It's obvious to us living today that the Internet has changed everything, and most of us can't imagine life without it. And so the world quickly saw the benefits of an Internet, and it continued to grow, especially in the mid-90s through the current time. In 1995, for example, it's estimated that 16 million people were using the Internet. Today, it is estimated that more than 1.8 billion people use the Internet. Many people think that the Internet and the World Wide Web are the same thing, and they are not. According to Wikipedia, the web is one of the services that runs on the Internet. It is a collection of interconnected documents and other resources linked by hyperlinks and URLs. A URL, which is a uniform resource locator, is an address you type into your browser's address line, such as www.whitehouse.gov. The World Wide Web is often referred to simply as the Web. Now notice that we capitalize the word Web as we would capitalize the W in the phrase web page. Who created the World Wide Web? In general, British scientist Tim Berners-Lee is credited with creating the web in 1989 by introducing a web browser and web page coding. If you look at the screen, you'll see a picture of Dr. Berners-Lee in around November of 2005. An interesting historical side note has to do with former Vice President Al Gore. Many took offense at one of his comments where he mentioned that he took the initiative in creating the Internet, and this was misquoted by comedians and even the media to his detriment. If you'd like some more information on that event, please take a look at the slide notes associated with this slide, as well as its link to Wikipedia. As I mentioned on the previous slide, Dr. Berners-Lee created the web by introducing a web browser and web page coding. And so a browser is a software program that lets the user, you and I, interact with the web by facilitating connection to other web servers through the Internet. The browser, and an example of a browser would be Internet Explorer, as well as Mozilla and Firefox and so on. The browser uses HTTP, which is the Hypertext Transfer Protocol, to communicate with web servers to get web page content. The web server sends HTML coding, and HTML is the hypertext markup language. So it sends HTML coding back to the browser, which translates the HTML coding for display on a monitor. On the previous slide, we said that the web server sends HTML coding back to your browser, which translates that HTML coding for display on your monitor. So therefore, HTML, or the hypertext markup language, is the language of the web. Web pages are text files written in the HTML programming language. And an example of HTML is shown in the figure on the left side of the screen. And notice how we have the HTML word enclosed in brackets. We have the word head, H1, and so on, all listed with some words after them. And this is the HTML code that would output the web page that you see on the right side of the screen. If you'd like to copy this, you can enter the code in that we have for you under the HTML code section in a notepad document, and then save that document as something like page.htm or page.html. Then double-click the file. Your browser will open that file and show you the output as you see here on the screen. Some historical perspective complements of Wikipedia. The image on the screen shows the world's first web server. This next computer was used by Sir Tim Berners-Lee at CERN and became the world's first web server. CERN is a French acronym, and translated, it means the European Organization for Nuclear Research. The document resting on the keyboard, if you want to look at the image, is a copy of Information Management, a proposal, which was Dr. Lee's original proposal for the World Wide Web. The label on the cube itself has the following text: "This machine is a server. Do not power it down." Just below the keyboard, not shown, is a label which reads, "At the end of the 80s, Tim Berners-Lee invented the World Wide Web using this next computer as the first web server." The book is probably Inquire Within Upon Everything, which Dr. Lee describes on page 1 of his book, Weaving the Web, as a musty old book of Victorian advice I noticed as a child in my parents' house outside London. This leads us to the question as to who owns the web. And the answer is that no entity owns the Internet, but people and organizations own the devices that connect to the Internet and form the World Wide Web. In fact, these people and organizations also own the content of the web. However, the Google versus China saga clearly illustrates how a country can repress what its citizens read. and I've put in the slide notes a link to that ongoing discussion at Wikipedia's website. In order for the Internet and the World Wide Web to work together seamlessly, we needed standardized communications. Internet protocols are a global standard, ensuring interoperability between hardware and software devices. In other words, a Mac computer can access the Internet just like a Microsoft-based PC can. Protocols such as HTTP allow any browser to talk to any web server, as I mentioned. TCP/IP transports HTTP across the Internet for delivery to its destination. Let's discuss Internet addressing basics. Now, the goal is not to make you an IP expert, but this just to give you some familiarity with how IP works. All Internet communication utilizes IP addressing. In other words, your computer, when it accesses the Internet, it must have an IP address. The Internet expects each communicating device, known as a host, to possess an IP address and subnet mask, which is a group of numbers that are in the format of, and I show these here on the slide, IP address of 192.168.10.1, with a subnet mask of 255.255.255.0. If you look at the slide notes, you'll see that we've posted the IP address and subnet mask that we listed on the previous slide. So what does all of this mean? Well, if we look at the IP address, this tells us that this host is in the 192.168.10.something network. And this network can legally have addresses in the range of 192.168.10.1 through and including 192.168.10.254. Networking devices and software on computers use 192.168.10.0 and then that same address but with .255 for routing and communication with computers and devices that are within that network. You've probably realized that valid numbers for IP addresses are in the range of 0 through 255. Now that we basically understand what an IP address is, the next question should be, how do we obtain one? Some IP addresses can be purchased or leased and used by the owner of that IP address or IP address range. These are referred to as public IP addresses. Most IP addresses are public IP addresses. Other IP addresses can be used by anyone. However, these addresses are not recognized on the Internet. In other words, they're valid within your home or within your place of business. These are referred to as private IP addresses. Examples include addresses in the range of 10.0.0.0, and then the other one, 172.16.31.0, and the familiar 192.168.0.0. Note that I've just listed the beginning ranges of these private IP address ranges. I haven't listed subnet masking or any of the other information. And this is because the depth of IP addressing is beyond the scope of this unit. And really, unless you're going to be a server administrator or a router and switch technician, you don't need to know the details to that depth for IP addressing. Fortunately, the Internet supports the use of domain names. Imagine trying to navigate the World Wide Web and the Internet using IP addresses and not names. Since people remember names better than numbers, the Domain Naming System, or DNS, was created. DNS and IP work well together. DNS, which again is the Domain Naming System, maps an IP address to what is referred to as a domain name. When you visit the website www.whitehouse.gov, your computer must first figure out this website's IP address. In other words, you type that into your browser has to use DNS to resolve that name to an IP address. One IP address for the White House is 65.126.84.121. This website is probably associated with many IP addresses because of the many hosts that access that website at any given moment. domain name resolution is accomplished through the use of DNS servers, which are located throughout the world. All domain names are mapped to an IP address and stored on globally and privately owned DNS servers, as I mentioned. Global DNS servers are known as root servers and work together to map the globe's names to their IP addresses. We should keep in mind that there really only can be one device using an IP address at any given time, and that a domain name can really only be used by one entity. When your browser learns the destination site's IP address from the DNS server, finally, your browser can begin to communicate with the destination device. People and organizations can purchase a domain name from ICANN, which is the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, and I've listed their website in the slide notes. According to Wikipedia, a domain name is an identification label that defines a realm of administrative autonomy, authority, or control on the Internet based on the domain name system. As you probably are aware, domain names are made up of three distinct pieces, all put together into one. For example, the domain name www.whitehouse.gov indicates a government site with the purchased domain name of White House, which is found on the World Wide Web. Let's now turn our attention to how we would connect to the Internet. Devices commonly connect to the Internet via dial-up, broadband, Wi-Fi, satellite, and 3G connections. Dial-up, as all of us are probably painfully aware, are made up of copper phone lines which connect to an ISP's modem. So you would have the modem connected to your computer, for example, and then it would connect to an outlet on the wall, which would connect to wiring that would lead ultimately to your ISP's modem. This was limited to a speed of 56 kilobits per second. This is the very slow connection type. Broadband, which is made up of higher quality copper phone lines, or coax cable, or fiber optic connection cables. This is faster than dial-up, and in the approximate range of about 768 kilobits per second and higher. Today, most of us are familiar with connecting to the Internet wirelessly. Wi-Fi is a wireless with radio frequency connection type. Wi-Fi refers to the IEEE, which is the Institute of Electrical and Electronics Engineers, 802.11 standard governing wireless technologies. And by the way, the standard, you could remember that it applies to wireless because the 802.11, if you take two of your fingers and hold them up, for example, one hand, two fingers up, it'll look like an 11. It'll also look like a wireless router. And the 802, the historical context of that is that this group was formed in approximately the second month of 1980. That's how long the world has been working on wireless standards. Typically, Wi-Fi and wireless connection types are used to connect laptops to wireless access points, or WAPs. The WAP is connected to the wired network to gain access to the Internet. And your typical home setup would be a wireless router connected to your ISP's device. And your laptops, which would operate wirelessly in the house, would connect to the wireless router, which would connect to the ISP's device, and then ultimately that device connects to the Internet. Wireless is used extensively by hotels and airports and schools. Wireless speeds range from a slow 1 megabit per second to over 200 megabits per second with the new N-Draft standard. And this depends on a variety of factors such as weather, interference for the signal, and so on. If you connect to the Internet via satellite, this is a connection to a ground satellite dish, or an antenna, and the satellite relays signals to a satellite orbiting the Earth. Then, the orbiting satellite relays the signal to another ground satellite dish. This can be somewhat slow because of the time it takes to make a whole round trip. The loss of speed is known in networking terms as latency. And finally, we have the 3G connection type. And these are the standards governing mobile communications. For example, the smart devices that many people are using today. And speed ranges from 2 megabits per second to 5 megabits per second, depending on your plan and the location of the device.